Welcome to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast, the audio version of the Josh Meister's Lost blog, which you can find at thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Hey everybody, this is the Josh Meister and welcome to the Josh Meister's Lost podcast. We just got finished watching season 6, episode 9, which is a Latin title, which I believe is pronounced Ab Aeterno, or something similar to that anyway. The meaning of the episode, by the way, is from eternity, or since the beginning of time, which probably has reference to kind of the fact that the episode is a flashback to very early days on the island, at least to the beginning of Richard's time on the island. And possibly the episode may even give hints as to kind of the origin of the world, at least as far as Jacob and the Man in Black are concerned. And by the way, anyone who's a regular to the show, feel free to call in if you want to. And if not, we've got a lot of people in the chat actually tonight, so I'm sure we'll get some good participation from there as well. All right, well, I'm going to jump right into the episode. Really don't have a whole lot of stuff to kind of review from the official podcast or from Geronimo Jaxbeard or any place else. No additional rewatchings on my part, so we'll head right into the episode right off the top here. I should mention for anybody who's new to this show, if you haven't listened to the podcast before, just so you know, sometimes there might be little parts of the episode that I'll skip over. I don't do an exact moment-by-moment play-by-play of the show. What I try to focus on when I take notes and also when I kind of go over things in the podcast is the kind of the most significant seeming moments in the show and the ones that had the most meaning to kind of the overall plot and things like that of the show, or at least of that episode. Also, sometimes I take short pauses too if I'm reading the chat or reading through my notes or something like that. So if you hear a short pause, don't panic. You know, it might not be TalkShoe having problems. I might just be taking a pause to kind of catch up on what people are saying in the chat. I do read a lot of the comments from the chat, and of course I give credit for any great ideas that people have along the way. So please feel free to share theories and fun things in the chat as we go along. All right, so we start out this episode in an unknown date in an Alana flashback. Now, this was a flashback that we had actually seen before, or at least we saw part of it before. I thought this was really interesting because we only saw this tiny little portion of this Alana flashback, you know, way back when, in season 5, and well, I guess toward the end of season 5, and we haven't really gotten any more of Alana's backstory since then. So now we get sort of a more complete version of this scene and more of the conversation. So Jacob says, "Will you help me, Alana?" And Jacob says, now this is the new part, he says that he has 6 names of people I need you to protect. So apparently Jacob gave her the exact 6 names, but she doesn't know if Sun or Jin is the right Quan, or if both of them are the ones that she needs to protect, as she said a few episodes ago to Sun. So I don't get how Jacob gave her 6 exact names, specific names of people, and yet Alana knows that there are 6 names, but she doesn't know if it's Sun or Jin or both. Because if it could be both, then that either means that there are 7 names or 5 names, depending, you know, as a possibility. I don't know. It that didn't quite jive with me, but in any case. So Jacob says that he's got 6 names anyway, of people that Alana needs to protect. And Jacob says that they're the remaining candidates. Kane in the chat points out that it also could be Baby Quan, Ji Yeon, which is Sun and Jin's baby, that is. I'm going to guess, I'm going to kind of assume, unless we get any real evidence otherwise, that probably that Alana's probably right that it's either Sun or Jin. I mean, that's what makes sense because they're on the island and so forth. Other people have speculated that even the name Austin could mean Aaron, because Aaron went by the name Aaron Austin, you know, after he came back to, or well, actually came for the first time to the regular world outside of the island when he came back with Kate as part of the Oceanic Six. So I mean, theoretically, it could even maybe the name Austin the lighthouse. Maybe that name also refers to Aaron too. But again, I kind of don't think so, just because Aaron's not on the show. You know, he's not on the island. I think it makes a lot more sense for it to be Kate. It could also be Sam Austin, you know, Kate's non-biological dad. So in any case, I'm going to assume, unless we get any strong evidence to the contrary, that probably Quan is either Sun or Jin, not and, but or Sun or Jin, and that Austin is probably Kate. But that is a good point, though, that those aren't the only Quans that we know. Bailey Bear points out that it was interesting that most of the episode was in subtitles. I actually always watch the show with subtitles anyway, with closed captioning on, so that I can get kind of the correct spellings of names and kind of catch lines that I maybe didn't hear quite right. So I wasn't, that was totally normal for me to be kind of reading as I'm watching the show. But, and also Sun and Jin episodes, typically they're translated with subtitles as well. So, it's not a first on Lost, but that is a good point that it seems like it's been a while since we've had an episode that was mostly subtitled. All right. Now this is an interesting thing. I'm not sure if they've done this before on Lost, but I noticed that in the opening scenes of the episode, they kind of kept cutting back and forth between this unknown date in this Alana flashback and 2007 on the island. Because the two scenes were related, they were cutting back and forth between the flashback and the island. Again, I'm not sure if they've done that before, but it was kind of interesting how they did that. So 2007 on the island, Sun says, referring to Alana, she said I was one of them. One is you, referring to Jack, and one is Hurley. So again, those are the three, I guess you could say confirmed ones, which we kind of already knew prior to this episode, except that, you know, Sun says she said I was one of them, which makes it sound like that's official, that it really is Sun. Based on the conversation that we saw Alana have with Sun, Alana wasn't so sure about that, but in any case. And then we cut back to this Alana flashback, and Alana says, after I've brought them to the temple, what do I do? And Jacob says, ask Ricardus. He'll know what to do. Now, if you remember the first time that Alana met Richard on the island, he actually referred to her, she referred to him as Ricardus, because that was the name that Jacob gave her. Which of course, Ricardus is Latin. Later, you know, in this episode, in Richard's flashback, we find out that he was originally a Spanish speaker, and his name is Ricardo, which is the Spanish version of that, of the same name. All right, so ask Ricardus, he'll know what to do. And then cutting back to the island in 2007, you know, Richard laughs and says, I have no idea what we do next. And he says, because everything he ever said is a lie. So it's kind of funny, even though, you know, there was this kind of miraculous life-saving thing where, you know, Jack has faith and the dynamite doesn't detonate and it doesn't kill Richard. Even so, Richard still doesn't have faith in Jacob after that. But he did choose to go with him, which is kind of interesting too. So he's back on this Jacob, you know, is a liar kick. And he says, you want to know a secret, Jack? Something I've known for a long, long time. We're dead. We're in hell. And of course, this is a funny moment because, you know, many, many fans have been speculating since the very beginning of the show, even when the executive producers have said, no, that's not what's going on, people still keep coming back to this theory that the whole island is purgatory or it's hell. And so it was kind of funny to hear Richard speculating this. And Josh Spivey from the Lost Flashbacks podcast is in the chat. He says, we're in hell. And then all Lost fans say, oh, no. It was definitely kind of that sort of a moment where I'm like, oh, you know, we think we're going to get this big reveal because here he's saying, you want to know a secret, Jack? Something I've known for a long, long time, which was in the preview last week, by the way. And so we're hanging on those words for an entire week. And then that's all that Richard says is we're dead. We're in hell. It's like, oh, come on, Richard, we even know better than that. But we can definitely see his perspective and why he might have thought that if he stopped trusting Jacob. Okay, so Richard says, maybe it's time we stop listening to him and start listening to someone else. And that's exactly what I'm going to do. And he walks off. So, and after Richard walks off, Hurley is speaking in Spanish to somebody on the beach. We don't see who it is. Although after seeing, you know, Richard's flashback, I could kind of figure out who it probably was that he was talking to. But Richard has walked off. Hurley's speaking to someone in Spanish on the beach. Jack wants to know what Jacob said. He asks Hurley, what did Jacob say? Hurley says, it's not Jacob, man. And he says, sorry, Jack, but this has nothing to do with you. And Frank says, you know, he's sort of engaged in this conversation with Ben and the others. And Frank says, so you're saying this guy doesn't age? Because Ben had said that, you know, he first met Richard when he was 12 years old. And so Frank's like, so you grew up together? And Ben's like, no, he looked exactly the same then as he does now. And so then Frank asks, so you're saying this guy doesn't age? And Ben says something like, that's exactly what I'm saying. And then we get this cut to this flashback, 1867 in the Canary Islands. And now we begin what takes place over almost the whole rest of the episode, this extended Richard flashback where we find out his backstory, which was very cool. I really liked what they did with Richard's story. It made a lot of sense. It fit with kind of the long time fan theories about, you know, Richard being a slave on the Black Rock. And we kind of got some hints recently that might have been the case, or at least that he was on the Black Rock. But now we have a confirmation that, in fact, he was a slave on the Black Rock. Ms. Flipper in the chat, who is from Puerto Rico, by the way, says the telenovela, sort of like the soap opera, you know, backstory of Richard. So Richard, we find out his name is Ricardo, and he speaks Spanish. And so immediately at this point, when he starts talking to Isabella, his wife. I immediately thought, was Hurley talking to Richard's deceased wife, Isabella? And so Isabella says, siempre estaremos juntos. You know, we'll always be together. Richard says, te voy a salvar. I'm going to save you. And so he rushes off to try to find a doctor. Long story short, he accidentally kills the doctor. They kind of get into the scuffle. The doctor, by the way, total creep. Like he's obviously trying to rip off Richard and sell him this, you know, false cure. I mean, and the reason I say that is because, you know, the doctor, you know, he's obviously all about just getting whatever money he can out of Richard. He, you know, Richard explains one symptom and the guy says, yeah, I got something that can cure that, you know, coughing up blood. Yeah, I know exactly what's wrong with her, you know? So he's obviously a scam artist anyway, but, Richard accidentally kills the doctor. And what I loved about this scene was that it was almost exactly the same way that Desmond accidentally killed Kelvin. If you remember way back when in a Desmond flashback, we saw how Kelvin apparently died. You know, Desmond and Kelvin kind of get into the scuffle and Desmond kind of is, you know, kind of pushes Kelvin and Kelvin's head hits this rock and then he starts bleeding from his head. And it was almost exactly the same thing with Richard and this doctor. And, Richard is just shocked. He can't believe that this doctor is apparently dead. And, so he runs off, he goes back to see his wife and she's already dead. The next time we see him, he's in prison and he's reading an English Bible, which is interesting. I hate pointing out errors and things, but there was definitely a prop error with the Bible that they had. If you look at a screenshot of it, you can definitely see that this Bible is far too modern for it to be an 1867 edition of the Bible. I think they got the version of the Bible correct, but they were definitely off on the font and on all that. I mean, this was obviously this particular Bible that Richard had was a was created on, you know, was typeset on a computer, not real type. Anyway, but and this is something that I didn't notice until after the episode. When I was looking through screenshots, and these were, by the way, from Dark UFOs, lostEasterEggs.blogspot.com. There's a good screenshot of this Bible, and you can see what chapter Richard was reading in this Bible. And again, I didn't notice this until after, but I did think of this passage. Recently on the show, I mentioned this passage. If you pull up the blog right now, the lostmeister.blogspot.com, just do a search on there for Luke 4. That's Luke space and then the number 4. And you'll find on that page, there's a couple of passages. There's one in Matthew chapter 4 and one immediately after in Luke chapter 4. And I brought this up during the discussion of the episode Sundown, and specifically in the context of when the man in black was telling Saeed he can give him anything he wants, even Nadia back. And this totally made me think this was a deliberate reference to Satan in the Bible, sort of like, you know, when Satan tempted Jesus and said, you know, I'll give you anything you want if you worship me. And this is almost you know, exactly the same sort of thing that happened again in this episode a little bit later on. And this Bible passage was sort of foreshadowing it. But I just thought this was so cool. Like, you know, I know this episode was already written and even filmed, long before we were talking about this a few weeks ago. So I thought that was so cool to actually have that chapter of the Bible being open in this scene. But so again, this is when the devil tempts Jesus, and is very, very similar to the conversation that Man in Black later has with Richard in this episode. Spivvy says, I really like when you talk about this stuff, Josh, because I know nothing about it. I learned so much about the show. Thank you very much for the compliment. The Catholic priest, that comes into Richard's cell, tells Richard that Richard doesn't have enough time to repent for murder because he was being hanged in the morning. And he says that the devil awaited him in hell, which was very cold and kind of unfortunate. And so once again, you can start to get a hint of why Richard thought that he was in hell when he came to the island. And then a man comes and purchases Richard on behalf of Magnus Hanso, who, if you remember, is the name of the captain of the Black Rock. We've learned that name long ago. I think we originally saw it on the Blastor map, if I'm not mistaken, way back in season 2. And so we finally hear again of Magnus Hanso after it's been a while. So this man purchases Richard on behalf of Magnus Hanso, and Richard is taken as a slave aboard the Black Rock. And we see the next scene. We see that he's on the Black Rock, and there's a storm, and the Black Rock crashes into the statue on the island. Presumably, this is what broke the statue. And of course, later in the episode, we see that there's just the foot remaining, and so that kind of confirms it, that the Black Rock is what broke the statue, and why there's only a foot left in present day. And So a few events transpire. We find out that the black rock ends up in the middle of the island, and the slaves are – there's only a few slaves that are still remaining alive down below. By the way, I'll take a break here to mention a comment that Diesel929 has in the chat. This is a good point, and I thought maybe the name was brought up then, but I couldn't remember for sure. But Diesel929 says, wasn't the diary of the first mate of the Black Rock what Widmore bid on at the auction where Desmond confronted him? And yes, I believe that's correct. I don't remember whether it was the first mate specifically, but in fact, maybe it was the first mate who was the one who actually purchased Richard in this episode, which, you know, that would be kind of interesting. It sort of seemed like that. I mean, the guy seemed to be representing Magnus Hanso, but not... He obviously wasn't Magnus Hanso, because we hear Sir Captain Hanso is dead next in the episode chronologically here. Josh Spivy in the chat says, at that auction, though, they said that the Black Rock set sail in 1845 and the journal was found in 1852. So that's interesting. Where did those where did you look that up? Was that Lostpedia? I'm just curious about that. I do remember a long time ago somebody talking about some sort of a discrepancy in the dates. Okay, so Josh Spivy is going to look that up. And Ginny Lynn also says, I think it was the first mate's journal. And Kane in the chat says, sounds like someone time traveled before. Yeah, so I don't know if this was a time travel thing or if this is just, you know, one of the many date, well, I don't know about many, but there have been at least a few date errors on the show before. We once got an incorrect birth date of Charlotte from Ben, and some other things like that. Okay, so Spivy looked it up on Lostpedia, and it's the article Black Rock Ledger. Black and Rock are capitalized, and Ledger is lowercase. So, of course, I'll put the link in the show notes. But in fact, those are the dates. He looked it up and confirmed that. So, so yeah, the dates are off. But you know, I don't know. There have been other times where they've been mistaken. You know, and I guess the executive producers, when they were talking about the error in Charlotte's birth year, you know, they openly admitted that that was a mistake. I guess one way that you could look at that, you know, if you were trying to keep everything as, you know, there's could be nothing infallible on the show, is that, maybe, Ben's source was just incorrect. You know, Michael being on the ship was apparently his source of information about, you know, all of these people from the freighter. And so maybe, Michael got incorrect information. Heck, maybe even Charlotte lied about her age and that's how Michael got the wrong year for her birth. You know, and, when it comes to the dates of when the Black Rock set sail, it could have been the auctioneer who maybe said the wrong thing. You know, he had the dates incorrect. I don't know. I'm just trying to err on the side of maybe the show, you know, has an explanation for it. But yeah, I do tend to think that that was probably just an error. Spivy also says, but someone told me that the main issue is that dynamite wasn't invented until 1866. Well, I guess at least that is answered now, because we, you know, if this happened in 1867, then dynamite had been invented by that point. Of course, you know, in fact, maybe that's even why they chose to make this, the ship, you know, in this episode, why they chose to explain it as being in 1867 so that they could explain how there was dynamite on the ship. You know, maybe that's kind of why they chose to read, you know, why they chose to change that date from what it originally was, in the Widmore auction episode. All right. Anyway, so we're going to move on from here. Sir Captain Hanso's dead is what somebody says. And Richard and the others down below hear this. The smoke monster, saves Richard's life by interrupting whoever it was, the first mate, or whoever, who came down below, and rather than setting the prisoners free, he's killing them one by one. And, you know, Richard asks why you're doing this, and the man says, because if I let you go, you know, you're eventually going to try to kill me. Which is funny that he would jump to that conclusion. I don't know. But in any case, so the smoke monster interrupts, and before this first mate or whoever can kill Richard by running him through with his sword, the smoke monster pops down and takes the first mate away and obviously kills him. Okay. There's a theory that somebody has in the chat. I have no idea how to pronounce this name, but it's the letter N four times 803ER. So 803er, I guess. Says in the chat, the Black Rock left England in 1852, was hijacked by slave traders, then took Richard in 1867. No time travel. So that's a kind of an alternate theory about, you know, what the dates could mean. I'm going to get to that comment in just a sec, Ms. Flipper, because that's an interesting idea. Oh, well, in fact, here's a counterpoint for 803er's comment. Then why would Hanso still be captain? And 803er says the journal was found among pirate belongings. So I don't know. Who knows? There's definitely different possibilities here about, you know, the exact timeline of events and all that. Again, I mean, some of that could be attributed to, you know, a mistaken auctioneer or something. Widfield, I guess, a couple of people are saying in the chat that Widfield is the name of the guy who bought Richard. Okay, so the smoke monster kills Widfield, I guess it was, and then the smoke monster analyzes Richard. And chooses to spare his life. This is the same sort of thing where there's flashes and so forth. I think that's what Ms. Flipper was referring to in the chat. Didn't we see Richard flashing? I think that's what she's talking about there. But so why did it choose to save Richard's life? And so at this point in the episode, kind of at the commercial break, I took down some thoughts on why maybe the smoke monster might have saved him. You know, after what we've seen later in the episode, I don't think this anymore, but here's what I thought at that point of the episode. Perhaps part of the agreement between Jacob and the Man in Black is for the Man in Black to allow certain people to live whenever a new group comes to the island. People who have the potential of living righteously and not choosing war and destruction so that Jacob can have a chance of winning the debate between the two of them. Well, again, I don't think that anymore. I think the whole reason that he saved Richard's life was so that he could have somebody to do his bidding to try to kill Jacob. I think that was pretty clear from later in the episode. Okay. So as far as we can tell, Richard seems to have been the only survivor of the Black Rock. He's the only one left. He tries to free himself, but is unable to. And then Isabella visits him and says that they're in hell. And she looked into the devil's eyes and saw only evil. This is all what is, you know, Isabella, in quotation marks, says to Richard. And then she goes to leave. You know, they hear this, the monster, and Richard tells her to leave to save herself. And the monster apparently kills her, or at least takes her, which, you know, is very weird because she was already dead. So, like, how could she die again? But on the other hand, you know, Anthony Cooper, if you remember, he also thought he was in hell when he was on the island. And yet he died, or died again, depending on his, you know, on the perspective, when Sawyer killed him. However, kind of, you know, after what we saw later in the episode, I thought for sure, and I think for sure that this Isabella was actually just a manifestation of the smoke monster. And I'll get into why I think that in just a moment. Okay, so then the Man in Black, as himself, not as the smoke monster, visits Richard and gives him water. Richard asks, I am in hell. And the Man in Black says, yes, I'm afraid you are. I was here long before your ship. I want to be free too. As luck would have it, I found these, and he dangles the keys, on one of the officers outside. You'll do anything I ask. So basically he's saying, you know, I'll let you free if you'll do whatever I ask. Richard says, yes, promise. And the man in black says, then we're agreed. And then he says this interesting line, because we've heard it before, it's good to see you out of those chains. Earlier in the season, this was the exact same line as the man in black, as Locke, in the form of Locke, used when he spoke to Richard after Ben killed Jacob. And so that's how Richard knew that Locke was actually the man in black, by the man in black repeating that line, it's good to see you out of those chains. Okay, the man in black frees Richard and says, I'm afraid there's only one way to get out of hell. You're going to have to kill the devil. And so immediately I knew that what his plan was in saving Richard was to try to get him to kill Jacob, much in the same way as when he, again, in the form of Locke, tried to get Ben to kill Jacob. However, there was also another thought that kind of came to me about the similarity of that scene. It also reminded me, and there was, by the way, another scene just after this that even more reminded me of this, but that line that you're going to have to kill the devil also seemed very similar to when Dogen tried to get Saeed to kill the man in black. It's almost as though, I thought for a moment during this part of the episode, it was almost as though there aren't good or bad sides, but just two players in a game. And, you know, they're kind of just trying to play against each other, it seems. Well, the very next scene, at least the next one I wrote about in my notes, was that the man in black gives Richard the same exact instructions and perhaps maybe even the same dagger that Dogen gave Saeed when instructing him to kill the man in black. Only this time, the man in black is the one giving the instructions, and their instructions are given for killing Jacob. So it's almost the opposite of when Dogen gives Saeed the knife and says, you know, you have to kill him before he speaks. It's so weird. I mean, just how exactly parallel those two scenes are. And I guess, once again, it's maybe the Lost writers kind of playing into this idea and trying to convince us that maybe there are two equal sides that are kind of going against each other. And maybe one's not any better or worse than the other. Maybe they're actually equal players. And Spivy in the chat asks the very important question, if one is in hell, can you kill the devil and thus escape it? And of course, that also makes one think, well, if Jacob then is the devil, would that make it possible for the man in black to escape? I'm still very much of the opinion that Jacob is the good guy here and that he's telling the truth and that the man in black is sort of the devil sort of character, or, you know, the evil character. That's an interesting comment from Didn't Believe Him in the chat. Didn't Believe Him says, Jacob wasn't dead after he was stabbed by Ben. He was alive when the man in black kicked him into the fire. So really, the man in black killed him, or at least finished him off. That's kind of interesting. And I wonder if that means that, if that's true, that he really wasn't dead and that the man in black is really the one who killed him, does that mean that the man in black sort of changed the rules or broke the rules, one or the other? Sort of similar to how we've heard discussion between like Ben and Widmore of changing the rules before. This is cool. We've got at least a few Spanish speakers in the chat here tonight. I'm noticing this is awesome. Really cool that they had a mostly Spanish episode of the show, by the way, or at least largely Spanish. Okay. So the man in black claims that Jacob took Isabella, even though we heard the smoke monster sounds when she was taken or killed or whatever. And then at this point in the episode, you know, again, I believe this is definitely what happened, but I wrote down, was Isabella an illusion? Nothing more than a form of the smoke monster. This is the same way the man in black tricked Ben, using his deceased loved one, Alex in that case, to play on his emotions to trick him into killing Jacob. So I absolutely think that that's exactly what happened here, is that the man in black was in the form of Isabella, pretending to be Isabella to sort of play on Richard's emotions to try to get him to trick him into killing Jacob. Exactly the same thing as the man in black tried to do with Ben. The man in black had says something interesting here. He says that, and again, he's referring to Jacob as the devil. He says, "The devil betrayed me. He took my body, my humanity." So the man in black is claiming that Jacob is the devil and that he took his body. I wonder what that means. You know, he took my body. I mean, obviously, the man in black seems to, his sort of almost natural state. Well, I don't know. I guess that's up for debate. But one of his states of, you know, his, one of his physical existences, if you want to call it that, is his smoke monster form. And he also has this human form where he looks like, you know, we guess what he looked like before whatever it was that happened to him that changed him into the smoke monster, where he looks like, you know, the kind of what I would call the man in black, like the classic man in black, the one we saw on the beach in the opening scene of the season 5 finale. So what does this mean? He took my body. So does he no longer have a physical body? And whenever he seems to have a physical body, he's really just taking a physical form that's not in fact real, or not in fact, you know, an actual physical form. I mean, I guess in a way that could explain things like, you know, the bullet that, you know, when Bram and the others were shooting at him, you know, the bullet is lying there on the floor, and also, you know, Saeed stabs him and there's no blood. You know, he apparently doesn't seem to have an exact physical form, and maybe that's what the man in black is talking about here when he says the devil betrayed me and he took my body and my humanity. And 803er in the chat says that the man in black is manipulating a religious man and he's using the devil thing to convince him that Jacob is the bad one. That would be my theory too. Again, I'm not sure if Spivy agrees with me. I would agree with us on that, but I tend to agree and think the same thing. Oh yeah, of course. Now I notice in the chat, Spivy's comment that was almost exactly the same as mine. But he actually pasted it first, I think, before I said it. He said, "I think what happened is Jacob stole his physical form from him, and he is now always the smoke. But he can assume human form as his old self, the man in black." Okay, so the man in black makes the same promise to Richard that he made to Saeed, that basically you'll get your woman back if you do what I say. And both of, you know, you'll not only that, but you'll get your deceased woman back if you do what I say. And I at this point in the episode, that's when I thought back to the, you know, the devil's temptations of Jesus. And that's, again, why I love that the Bible passage that Richard was reading was Luke chapter 4, one of those passages where the devil is tempting Jesus. But this scene made me think of that even before I realized that whole screenshot and all that stuff. The Lost Gringa has a theory in the chat here. "During this whole episode, I was thinking of the usual suspects when they say the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist." She says it's not the same, but it's like one guy is saying the other is the devil, but maybe he really is. Jenny Lynn says, makes a reference to how this whole season seems to all be about smoke and mirrors. You know, we have the smoke monster and we have all these mirrors in the flash sideways. The Lost Gringer clarifies, maybe he really is the one who's saying it. In other words, maybe the man in black is really the devil. Okay. So, Richard then, you know, taking the man in black's word, and of course he promised to do whatever the man in black said. He actually made that promise, which is interesting considering that Richard then decides to follow Jacob after this. But Richard tries to kill Jacob, but Jacob fights Richard and proves to him that he's still alive by dunking him repeatedly in the ocean until Richard says he wants to live. You know, Jacob, I thought this was really cool. Jacob's like, you know, "Why do you want me to stop?" And he says, "Because I want to live." And so Jacob's like, "Okay, now you get it." And so he pulls him out of the water. And Diesel929 had an interesting comment about that a little bit earlier in the chat. He said, when Richard was being dunked in the ocean by Jacob, did it remind anyone else of baptism? I totally did not think of that at the time, but that's a very good point. I mean, again, you know, if Jacob is supposed to be the good guy, you know, and the man in black is the bad guy, who's the kind of deceptive character who's lying and, you know, sort of in the place of the devil, then yeah, maybe that does make sense that was supposed to kind of make us think of baptism, this dunking in the water. Although on the other hand, the conversation that Jacob has with Richard, you know, Jacob says that he can't absolve him of his sins. So Jacob is not apparently supposed to be God or Jesus, but, you know, at least maybe some sort of a good guy who's kind of on the side of, you know, righteousness, if you want to call it that. Spivvy has another comment about Jacob apparently taking the man in black's body. Why did he take his body? Do you think he has trapped the man in black on the island because he's dangerous? Yeah, my thought on that is absolutely that's that's exactly what's going on here. And he also says, well, I do think the island needs both of them. Okay, so I'm going to read another comment from Didn't Believe Him in the chat. If the man in black wasn't evil, then why wouldn't Jacob just send him back to the real world and out of the way? Much easier. He let others leave, like Widmore and Walt, etc. Well, and I think maybe that's what Spivvy was responding to. But, you know, the island maybe needs both of them. Another thought on that, you know, I really think that if the man in black was to leave the island, that he would do something bad, you know. This was a discussion that we actually had. I didn't mention at the top of the show, but I was a guest on Mother Jones Magazine had I guess they do a weekly chat, like an actual like text chat about each new episode. And they invited me to be a guest last week. And we actually talked about that and, you know, why the monster can't leave the island or, you know, the man in black can't leave the island. And my thought on that was that, you know, he would do something bad. And one of the other participants in the chat said what, like, you know, eco disasters or something. And, well, my thought is, I mean, it's almost exactly like Pandora's box or something, you know, it's like releasing evil into the world. Especially I think that after this episode, you know, the conversation between Jacob and the man in black, at the end of this episode, I think is a very, very strong hint of that. And so I would definitely recommend that people look up the story of Pandora's box, you know, look it up on Wikipedia or something, because I think that is going to have some very close parallels, perhaps anyway, to the story between Jacob and the man in black and what's going on the island. Kane contends, I don't think the island needs either one of them. I think the island is special on its own. Okay, so I'm going to get into the conversation now between Richard and Jacob. Richard says, are you the devil? And Jacob says, no. Richard says, then who are you? My name is Jacob. I'm the one who brought your ship to this island. And Richard asks why. And, Jacob says, and I think this is an almost exact quote. It's not exactly perfect. There are parts missing because I couldn't type it out fast enough. But Jacob said, think of this wine as what you're calling hell. You know, some people call it malevolence. If it did get out, meaning if the wine was to get out, it would spread. The cork in this island, or the cork is this island, and it's the only thing keeping the darkness where it belongs. That man believes every man is corruptible because it's his nature to sin. I believe he's wrong. It's all meaningless if I have to force them to do anything. Okay. So once again, we have this sort of, this is exactly what I thought they were trying to say in the opening scene of the season 5 finale, is that Jacob was saying basically that, you know, people are good and, you know, and are good by nature. And so they all have, you know, inherently good, you know, goodness inherent in them, I guess maybe is sort of a confusing way of saying that. But, and the man in black takes the opposite position, that everybody is born evil, you know, and that we're, you know, every single person is actually just inherently evil. And so they have this difference in perspective, obviously, based on this conversation between Jacob and the man, Jacob and Richard explaining the man in black. And again, he calls him that man. We still don't have the name of the man in black, but he's just, again, referred to as that man. And I also thought it was interesting, Jacob's line, "It's all meaningless if I have to force them to do anything." And Richard responds, "If you don't, he will." And again, this is a very, you know, religious theme of kind of forcing somebody to do something versus, you know, free will and being, you know, one's being able to make one's own decisions on things. Certainly, at least according to some, you know, Christian philosophy, you know, some believe that, that there was sort of a war in heaven, you know, prior to the, you know, to man coming to earth, and that basically there was the devil and his angels, and their position was that, you know, everybody should be saved, and, you know, everybody's just going to follow this one path and everyone will be saved. This was presented after the plan that, you know, was basically God's plan that had been presented, and that plan was for all of us to, you know, to come to earth, to experience mortality, to have the opportunity to choose between right and wrong and to make decisions on our own here on earth. And, so you've got these two sides, you know, sort of playing against each other. On the one hand, we have Jacob's side, you know, kind of bringing it back to Lost, where, the good side, where people get to choose for themselves how they want to act, whether they want to be good or evil. And, you have the devil's side, if you want to call it that, where, as Richard puts it, he'll force, people to do what he wants them to do. That's, you know, compulsion and forcing people to do something is the devil's side, or in Lost's context, the man in black side. So I don't know if this is an exact analogy, but it seems to fit anyway. There's so many things in this episode where there's a very strong, it seems, a very strong religious theme to kind of this whole Jacob versus the man in black. Jacob says that he can't give Richard his wife back, and he can't even absolve Richard of his sins so that he can't go to hell. Obviously Jacob is not supposed to be Jesus, because if they're going on a direct, you know, parallel with the Bible, you know, Jesus did openly admitted to the people, even those who didn't believe him, he openly admitted that he could absolve people of their sins. So Jacob is obviously not supposed to be Jesus, but just sort of somebody, you know, maybe you could say, maybe he's even supposed to represent like Michael, the archangel or something, you know, maybe he's supposed to sort of represent, he's maybe an angel kind of on the side of God, or I don't know, something like that. Who knows? In fact, Cain actually, probably about the same time that I said it, I just glanced at the chat and saw that he said the same thing as well. You know, that Jacob isn't God, but he could be an angel. So yeah, that's a good point. Exactly my point. Guest 35 in the chat says, "Kate is not the Virgin Mary." I would agree with that. Bailey Bear, Vicky in the chat says, "I'm not very familiar with the Bible, but could Jacob somehow be evil?" You know, I guess it's possible. I mean, certainly anything's possible. Again, based on this episode, I would think that, there's a pretty good chance that we're supposed to think that Jacob is a good guy, the Man in Black is a bad guy. But as Spivey, has pointed out, there's maybe still a part of it that they're kind of leaving up for interpretation. Like, maybe it's not 100% clear based on a few certain lines or a few certain scenes that Jacob is good. I mean, we've certainly gotten the opposite perspective, right? I mean, when Dogan was talking about, how Jacob sort of brought him to the island and things like that, it almost seemed like Dogan resented what Jacob did. And that he almost sort of implied that maybe Jacob was not as good as we might otherwise think that he is. By the way, Kane has a good point in the chat, that Jacob is able to leave the island all the time. And yet the Man in Black cannot. And so definitely Jacob has more power in that sense, at least, than the Man in Black does. He can come and go as he pleases. Whereas the Man in Black is stuck. Okay, so after Jacob says that he can't give Richard his wife back, he can't absolve him of his sins, so that Richard won't go to hell, Richard says he wants instead, if he can't get either of those things, then Richard says, then I want to live forever. So, in other words, if I can't have my wife back, and if I can't be guaranteed that I'm not going to go to hell, then I just want to live forever so that I can avoid ever having to go to hell. And so Jacob answers, now that I can do. And then he touches Richard on the shoulder. Presumably this is when Richard receives this gift of being able to live forever. Now, I don't know if there's a direct, religious parallel on that one. I don't know, this whole like Richard touching on the shoulder thing. I mean, certainly, if we want to try to force a Bible parallel there, and maybe I've been forcing a lot of them, I don't know, but, Jesus could heal people and often would touch them when he healed them and so forth. But I don't know if there's a direct parallel there. I don't really get the Jacob not being able to do these other things, but he can make Richard live forever. Sure, I can do that. That I don't get. I don't really understand that one. So if anyone can explain that one to me and maybe point out if there's some sort of religious significance to that or not, I don't know. If someone can figure out some connection there that makes sense, let me know. Because I don't see a religious connection, at least not a direct one on that. But I could be missing something. Yeah, 803er in the chat says, then again, they had Sawyer and Ben say, God has nothing to do with this. So that's a good point too. We definitely have both perspectives from characters on the show. I mean, some that seem to, especially, the Man in Black in this episode calling Jacob the devil and all that sort of thing going on. We definitely have people who are of both opinions, or at least trying to, make the case that either things on the island do have to do with God and some have nothing to do with God, according to different people on the island. So that's a good point. Jenny Lynn earlier also said that Jacob seems to want people to make the choice not to make a trade, which I thought was kind of an interesting comment too. Rather than sort of, trade for, I'll do whatever you want as long as I get this one thing in return. Jacob wants people to choose for themselves, again, kind of getting back to that. You can make your own decision or you can be forced into something. So I thought that was an interesting comment too. And 803er says that they wrote that Sawyer and Ben line twice for a reason, maybe, but also, many 803er continues, many themes are referenced, but only up to a point, and then it's TV, which is absolutely true. I mean, the whole entire experience of Lost is definitely not, a direct parallel with any one, religious ideology or anything like that. And so, yeah, I mean, you can try all day long to try to force everything. I mean, people have certainly tried to do the same thing with Star Wars and saying, you know, this is a direct parallel to, you know, good and evil and the Bible and sort of things like that. But, yeah, I mean, you can try to force it all day long, but, it becomes a lot less interesting when you do. Okay. So, Richard sees the Man in Black. And again, and Man in Black says, you know, basically that he's disappointed in Richard. You know, he's like, you didn't kill him, did you? You know, you listened to him. And then he says, he can be very convincing. And then he says, I want you to know that if you ever change your mind, and I mean ever, my offer still stands. And so, at that point, I figured that must be where Richard is going, you know, based on his comment at the beginning of the episode. It sounded like Richard was giving up on Jacob and he was going to follow the Man in Black. And especially after hearing this line from the Man in Black, you know, that was certainly left open as a possibility. And then, now this is really interesting, I thought. The Man in Black gives Richard his cross necklace. And I thought, you know, oh, the irony, you know, I mean, this is so much like, exactly that, again, referring back to Luke chapter 4, which Richard had open in his Bible, the devil can quote scripture and use it to his advantage. This, you know, the Man in Black giving Richard his cross necklace to me was a direct parallel with that. I mean, it's just like the devil quoting scripture, you know, he's hinting that, you know, look, I'm a good guy, you know, you know, the cross. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Here you go. Here's your cross. You know, he's making himself look like a good guy by giving Richard the cross necklace, sort of, you know, almost in parallel, it seems to me anyway, with, you know, the chapter that was referenced earlier in the episode where the devil quotes scripture to try to make his point and to convince Jesus to follow him or, you know, to do what the devil wants Jesus to do. Okay. So 2007 on the island, Richard digs up his wife's necklace and says aloud, I've changed my mind. Does the offer still stand? And Hurley walks out instead of the Man in Black and says, your wife sent me, Isabella. She wants to know why you buried your cross. Isabella saw you dig it up, man. She's standing right next to you. And Hurley passes along messages from Isabella to Richard. And then, for a moment, Richard can communicate with her directly. While he has his eyes closed, and for a moment he can hear her and sort of communicate back and forth with her. And basically she says, look, I don't blame you for my death. You know, you did what you could to try to save me and it's not your fault. After she leaves, Richard puts on the cross necklace and Hurley tells Richard that, she said something else. And this is what Hurley says. She says, she said, you have to stop the Man in Black. You have to stop him from leaving the island. Because if you don't, and then he says in Spanish, todos nos vamos al infierno. We all go to hell. If you don't stop the Man in Black, we all go to hell. Now, I don't know whether that's just Isabella's interpretation, or if that's, you know, if that's what Jacob told her to say. You know, I don't know. But it's an interesting line anyway. Again, we're sort of getting back to this religious argument again, this religious debate about, you know, where it's implied that Jacob represents the, you know, God's side and the Man in Black represents the devil's side. So in a flashback, the Man in Black says, this is at the very end of the episode. So there's this other flashback. We don't know exactly when this takes place. In fact, well, maybe this took place just after the other scene that we saw in the previous flashback, you know, so maybe, Richard has chosen sides now. And, so the Jacob and the Man in Black are having this conversation again, similar, you know, kind of to the conversation that they had in the season 5 premiere. And the Man in Black says, among other things, do they have this? There's more to the conversation than this. But one of the things that Jacob says basically is that, well, look, if you get them to kill me, if you get someone to kill me, there's going to be someone else to take my place. And the man in black says, if someone else takes Jacob's place, he'll kill them too. And so, in other words, he's willing and planning to kill a candidate if Jacob dies and one of the candidates becomes the new leader, taking Jacob's place, that the man in black plans to kill them too. So I find that interesting because, the man in black knows who the candidates are, at least most of them. And, because of the cave, right? He has seen which names are and are not crossed off. And so he has some idea of who the current candidates are. He knows that he's got Sawyer on his side, or at least, he thinks that Sawyer is working for him on his side. And we have other names as well. We know that Quan is one of them. We know that Reyes is one of them, and Shepard is one of them. And so the man in black knows, about some of these candidates. And so far, what he's done is he's convinced Sawyer and Jin Quan, who may or may not be the candidate, to basically be on his side. Whether strongly or not, maybe they're not strongly on his side, but at least they're in his camp. They're kind of following him around and kind of obeying his orders, sort of. And sort of by accident, he also got Kate to be on his side as well. Now, it's funny because in the previous episode, the man in black seems protective of Kate and is kind of becoming really buddy-buddy with Kate. I don't know if he knows that Kate is still a candidate or not. Her name was not crossed out in the lighthouse anyway. We know that for sure. And there wasn't a clear shot of Kate's name, I don't think, in the cave, although the executive producers have said that, they intended for her name to be there. So I don't know. In any case, he does have some of the candidates on his side, but why not just kill them right now? I mean, why convince them to sort of follow him and sort of, get them on his side rather than just kill them off and make it so there are no more candidates? Why not kill them? That's what I don't get. 803er says, the man in black is going to need a lot of loopholes if he's going to kill everyone who tries to take Jacob's place. Lost Geek 108 says, do you think the man in black is stronger because he's now in the body of one of the candidates? Well, just as a reminder, he's actually not in Locke's body. If you remember, there we actually saw Locke's body lying on the beach, and the man in black, in the form of Locke, walking right past this dead body. And they also buried John Locke's actual real body on the island. So it's actually not the man in black's not actually in Locke's body. He's taking the form of Locke. He has the appearance of Locke, but he's not actually in his body. 803er brings up a good point, and they actually mentioned, well, they sort of hinted at this on the show. If you remember, there was that weird boy in the jungle that the man in black talked to, and the man in black in the form of Locke talked to, and this boy hinted that he can't kill Sawyer. I mean, the man in black can't kill Sawyer, presumably because he's a candidate, right? And this is what 803er is kind of making reference to. He can't kill candidates. He's trying to manipulate them into killing each other. Oh, no, that's interesting. So maybe he's trying to turn the candidates against each other. And, but if that's the case, why did he stop Claire from killing Kate? I mean, he could have just let Kate die. I don't know. 803er says, I think the man in black lies to everyone. He told Sawyer the island didn't need anyone. Then he told Ben he could be the leader. So which is it? Well, yeah, obviously he's lying and manipulating as much as he can to try to get people on his side. It's the same thing that the man in black has been doing all along. He lied to Ben. I mean, not only lied to him, but totally deceived him by appearing in the form of Alex and so forth and playing on his emotions. And apparently did the same thing again in this episode with Richard. He pretended to be Isabella, to sort of play on Richard's emotions. So, yeah, absolutely the Man in Black lies to everyone. 803er says he was using Claire. The Man in Black saves Kate from Claire to gain her trust. Yes, but why? I mean, why does he need Kate to be alive? I mean, if she is one of the candidates, you know, why does he care if Kate's alive? Yeah, 803er has, okay, now that makes sense, on at least on some level, he was recruiting her, basically, and that's the terminology that Alana used, back, you know, several episodes ago. So that's true. So I guess the Man in Black does need to recruit people to be on his side. We don't really know exactly why that is. I mean, maybe he feels that he's more powerful if he's got more people on his side, kind of building up an army, so to speak. Kane has a theory that Kate will join Alana and the others. I tend to think so too. On the other hand, you know, maybe not. I mean, now that Kate and Sawyer have sort of started to reconnect, maybe she's going to stick with Sawyer wherever he goes, and maybe Kate won't reunite with Alana. I kind of think that that's probably more likely at this point. Although I have thought that previously that, you know, Kate sort of ended up with them by accident, and, you know, just because that was the only place that she could go after the smoke monster had killed all the other people at the temple. I mean, she really had no other choice but to go with Claire and, you know, infected Claire and infected Saeed and, you know, evil Locke. kind of was forced into that decision. So I think if she had the choice and if Sora wasn't there, she might be more interested in connecting with the others. Then again, I don't think Kate has a full idea of the, you know, she doesn't have the whole picture here. And so, that may be one of the reasons why she's sticking around too. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. So getting back to the flashback. So the Man in Black says if someone else takes Jacob's place, he'll kill them too. And Jacob gives the Man in Black the wine bottle that he had showed to Richard earlier. And after Jacob walks away, the Man in Black smashes the wine bottle. And, I took this as being symbolism, you know, sort of being symbolic of the end of the world. You know, the Man in Black is like, look, I'm going to escape, you know, you know, Jacob had described the cork as being the island that keeps the Man in Black in the bottle to keep him from spreading. And so when the Man in Black smashes the bottle, it's kind of like, you know, to heck with the island. It's not going to stop me. I'm still going to escape and I'm still going to, you know, take over the world or spread throughout the world, or, you know, maybe it's the end of the world. So those are some different theories and thoughts about that anyway. Okay. Let's see. I don't really have much in the way of screenshots and Easter eggs. Again, there was that one screenshot, of the Bible being open to Luke 4, and I'll link to that, in the show notes. And I've also linked to it in the chat for anyone who wants to look at that. And I'll also link to where you can find that passage. The passage in the Bible, the English Bible that Richard has on the show is, the King James Version, which is not surprising because that, is from the 1600s. So I'll give a link to where you can find that same, version of the Bible online if you want to read the full chapter. To see kind of the references that I was talking about with, like the temptation of Jesus and things like that. Bailey Bear has a really interesting theory. Do you think that the Man in Black and Jacob are one? I have been dealing, okay. That, I guess that's the end of that theory. So are the Man in Black and Jacob one and the same? I've heard speculation of that, before. But I'd be interested in hearing any evidence that anybody has. Bailey Bear says she heard it from Jay and Jack. Come to think of it, I think they may have mentioned that. I was actually on charity, you know, Autism Speaks charity podcast. They did a big 30-hour podcast over the weekend. I've been kind of busy being a guest on other people's sites and shows recently in the past week. Anyway, it seems like, but Jay, I think Jay and Jack actually mentioned the same theory that we were kind of discussing. That Spivy also was on the show at the same time as me, and Spivy says that's Jack's crackpot theory. Is that the that's right. That's what it was. That the Man in Black and Jacob are one. And Spivy says Jay makes fun of him often for it. Okay. Any other comments or thoughts, theories, or anything about the episode before we get into the preview for next week's episode? So people are kind of talking in the chat about, you know, whether it was a flashback or flash sideways based on, you know, sound effects and things like that. I think for sure, you know, that was definitely a flashback. I don't think there's any question about that. It really doesn't make sense for that to be a flash sideways. You know, this is Richard's backstory. You know, we've known Richard for a long time, and all of the flash sideways have taken place in 2004. You know, I mean, it just doesn't make sense for it to be a flash sideways. I mean, it's an interesting thought for sure, but I just don't think that it actually makes any sense. I mean, the whole flash sideways thing, it seemed to have begun after the hydrogen bomb was detonated on the island. You know, after Juliet set off the bomb, it would appear from the show, even though personally I think that the time rift should have begun when they integrated with Dharma in 1974. It seems like from the show that it was probably the 1977 detonation of the hydrogen bomb that created this rift in the time-space continuum, that created this flash sideways timeline. And so if that all took place in 1977, then I think this is absolutely a flashback. There's no way that this could have been a flash sideways. I hope that makes sense. Jeremy Bentham, I'll take one more comment from the chat. So Jeremy Bentham says, people are saying that Juliet's flashback with her parents divorcing was actually a flash sideways. I don't know. People were just making that theory. I think it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, there's lots of things that we could go back and try to guess whether flashbacks that we've seen were actually flash sideways. But I don't think that probably there are very many of them that would dramatically change the show. I mean, most of the flashbacks have kind of been character backstories, and I just don't think that it makes a lot of sense for most of the flashbacks to make more sense or to, I don't know, have more significance as a flash sideways. But it is an interesting thought anyway. Okay, well, I'm going to get into the preview for next week's episode. I really didn't. So by the way, if you consider the preview to be a spoiler, then this would be the time to tune out. I don't have any other spoilers that I'm going to share this week, though. So the only couple of little things that I noticed were the Man in Black, in the form of Locke, says, "I come in peace," and he says to Sun, "I found your husband. I can take you to him. Jin is waiting." And there's also a shot of what looks like Sun lying on the ground. And that's about all that I really noticed in the preview. So there may be some other things that I'm sure there are a couple other little flashes and things that I missed. I think they might have shown Kate. Gosh, I don't even remember that for sure. I know at the very end, though, that they showed Sun lying on the ground, and Bailey Bear also confirms that in the chat. And that was interesting, because it almost looked like, I mean, it wasn't just like a normal sleeping position. I mean, it was almost like she got knocked out or killed or something like that. And so that that'll be interesting to see what was going on there. You know, does the Man in Black do something to harm Sun? Is it because she's a candidate or because the Man in Black thinks that she might be based on her last name? And is there anything else that anybody noticed in the preview that's worth mentioning? I'll try to find it on YouTube if I can, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes. All right, well, I think that'll do it for tonight. So thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We had a whole bunch of participants in the chat tonight. It's been a lot of fun to discuss Lost And please come back next week and every week, anytime that you want to discuss Lost, I'll be here. I always record the show right after Lost ends in the Pacific time zone. So that's 3 hours after it ends in the Eastern time zone, where probably many of you are from. And thanks to everybody who stayed up late to be here. I really, truly do appreciate that. It makes the show so much more fun to have people here from really all over the world. I mean, we had people here tonight from Puerto Rico, from Ireland. So very exciting. Thanks again for joining tonight. And we'll see you next week. Until then, stay lost and namaste. If you have a product or service that you'd like to market to thousands of Lost fans, find out how you can become a sponsor of this podcast. Send an email to thelostmeister@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Please check out the Josh Meister's Lost blog for links related to this podcast. The address again is thelostmeister, that's thelostmeister.blogspot.com. Thank you, and namaste.